So we meet again, audio drama lovers. Get comfortable as we prepare you for a journey into the theater of the mind. The following tale is based in part on a true story. Connect the Dots was taped live at the Slipper Room in New York City. It was part of our Missing Persons show from Sunday, March 26th, 2017. But first, a word about our sponsor. You know, friends, it takes great sleep to lead a great life. That's why we're pretty excited that this episode is sponsored by Casper. FMT listeners can go to casper.com/fireside and use promo code FIRESIDE to get $50 towards any mattress purchase. The Casper is an obsessively engineered mattress at a shockingly fair price. Snuggle in and try it at home for 100 nights with free shipping and free returns. Go to casper.com/fireside and use promo code FIRESIDE.
Welcome to Fairy Tale Extra, a special behind-the-scenes profile of your favorite bedtime story characters brought to you by Casper Mattress. We are coming to you live from the set of The Princess and the Pea. And we happen to have with us the two title characters of this runaway smash, the Princess
Enchanted
and her scene-stealing co-star, the Pea.
Hey, 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 wackadoo!
Now, Princess, there have been endless streams of raves for this latest production. Is there a particular secret to your success?
Well, I like a relaxed set. So when I found that Casper Mattress was providing the mattresses we needed for the production, my mind was completely at ease.
Easy for you, maybe, Princess. I gotta say, this latest run has been especially difficult on me.
Difficult? I don't understand.
First of all, I hate to be the one to tell you this, Your Highness, but as the guy who has to be placed directly under the mattress 8 shows a week, you've put on a couple of pounds since we started doing the show. And there's been a few nights where I thought I'd end up a split pea. I know I'm in a supporting role, but this is ridiculous.
How dare you, you little green globule. The only reason you got this job is because of your grandmother, P. Arthur.
Wrong! It was my cousin P. Diddy who talked to the producer, and I still had to audition. Do you know how many other peas in that pot I was up against?
Now, you two. Let's take it easy here. What seems to be the real source of tension between you two?
Tension? That's the problem. There's no tension. And I blame it all on that Casper mattress. That mattress is so comfortable for Miss Princess here that nothing I do under the mattress actually bothers her. Night after night, show after show, they made the mattresses too good!
Princess, is this true?
Well, I'll say this much. It takes my considerable skills as an actor to appear as if I'm feeling any discomfort at all. You see, Casper has made the perfect mattress, and I get to sleep on it night after night.
And you get to smush me night after night, thunder thighs! Like I'm some kind of peon or something! You know what? I'm finished here. Go find yourself a lima bean to smother. Peace out.
Well, I never in my...
It takes great sleep to lead a great life. So Casper created one perfect mattress. It ships free in a big box. Try it at home for 100 nights and find out for yourself. You'll sleep better, dream better, and live better. Fireside Mystery Theater listeners, go to casper.com/fireside and use promo code FIRESIDE to get $50 off your mattress purchase. That's promo code FIRESIDE at casper.com/fireside.
On December 3rd, 1926, one of the most fascinating and oddest tales of disappearance took place. Agatha Christie, the grande dame of mystery herself, vanished from her home. The mystery caused a great stir in the press. One British newspaper offered a reward of £100. The Home Secretary, William Joynson Hicks, successfully rallied efforts so that over 1,000 policemen, several airplanes, as well as scores of volunteers, searched the countryside for her. Even Arthur Conan Doyle got in on the action by enlisting a medium to use one of Christie's gloves to help solve the case. For 10 days, she remained missing, despite all of these efforts. But at last, She was found at the Swan Hydropathic Hotel in Yorkshire, registered under an assumed name. Thankfully, she had not disappeared for good, and when she died in 1976 at the age of 85, she left behind a titanic literary legacy that has never diminished. Why and how she simply vanished, as she did, was never satisfactorily answered in Christie's lifetime. To this day, only loose speculations remain. The following play, Connect the Dots, takes a similar true account and produces a story that will thrill, enlighten, and astonish. Daisy. Daisy, it's time for my tea.
Coming.
Didn't I tell you to have Foster call the man about that squeaky wheel on the cart? And how many times do I have to tell you, address me as ma'am or Mrs. Greer?
Yes, Mrs. Greer.
If you would simply be prompt when I call for you and follow the schedule as I laid out, I wouldn't have to ring. It's unseemly for you to shout from the other room.
Yes, Mrs. Greer. Sorry, ma'am.
The agency said you're new at this, but I would have thought you would have some sort of training, and it wouldn't be up to me to teach the maid how to do her job.
Will that be all, ma'am?
No, that won't be all. Is your head full of feathers? Are you going to serve my tea?
Yes, ma'am. Sorry, ma'am. Sugar?
Sugar, ma'am?
Pardon?
Daisy, you must call me ma'am or Mrs. Greer when addressing me, or this won't do at all.
Yes, Mrs. Greer. Would you like sugar in your tea, ma'am?
Yes. 2 lumps, no milk.
Do you need anything else, Mrs. Greer?
Child, hand me the tea.
Oh!
Give me that. You mustn't be so nervous. It's a simple tea service, Daisy. I hope I'll be able to count on you not to be such a goose when I have company.
Sorry, ma'am. I'm trying. I really am.
Yes, I can very clearly see the effort.
I'm sorry if I offended you, Mrs. Greer.
Daisy, sit down.
Ma'am?
Can you read, dear?
Of course, Mrs. Greer.
Yes, Mrs. Greer?
Very good, Foster. Very prompt. Take note, Daisy. Foster, where are my newspapers?
They're on the table in the corner, ma'am.
Good. Thank you, Foster. That will be all.
Very good, ma'am.
Daisy, I would like for you to read me the newspaper. So get the newspaper from the table and sit down. Then read.
Pardon me, but which newspaper?
The one over there. Are you willfully being so daft?
This one, ma'am?
Yes. Now sit down and read it to me.
But, ma'am, this isn't the...
Daisy, am I going to have to call the agency for a replacement?
No, ma'am.
Good. Go on.
Niece of Peckham strangely missing. Young woman relative of the late Supreme Court Justice gone since December 12th.
What's the date, dear?
On the article, ma'am?
Yes.
January 26th, 1911.
We'll go on. Keep reading.
Miss Dorothy H.C. Arnold, daughter of Francis C. Arnold, an importer of perfume, niece of the late Justice Rufus W. Peckham of the United States Supreme Court and a Bryn Mawr graduate, disappeared from the home of her parents at 108th East 97th Street on the morning of December 12th. And although a nationwide search has been made for the young woman, no trace of her has been found.
A society girl from a prominent family has been missing since before Christmas, and they don't report it until the end of January. Doesn't that seem odd to you?
I don't rightly know, ma'am.
No, you wouldn't, would you? All right, that's enough. Back to work. Come back in half an hour to collect the tea things. And don't make me ring this bell to find you.
Yes, ma'am.
This is exactly why I didn't want the press to be notified. All sorts of money-grubbing charlatans come out of their gutters trying to squeeze pennies out of a tragedy.
It's horrible, dear. But what if one of them actually knows something? Shouldn't we pass these on to Mr. Keith for his inspection?
Mr. Keith no more thinks that Dorothy is missing than I do.
Francis, why would you say that? She could be in danger or worse. Didn't he turn up some promising leads during his investigation?
Well, she chose a lousy time to disappear.
Marjorie, I'm sorry, my dear, I didn't see you there.
Precisely. This was supposed to be my time, and Dorothy has utterly ruined it. A shadow was cast over my debutante ball when she decided to vanish, and no one cares an ounce about me. I might as well be furniture in this room.
Marjorie, that's no way to speak to your mother and father.
She learned it from Dorothy, you know. A lot of good it's done to raise our children in high society. Now, I'd appreciate it if you'd use those costly social graces within the walls of this house and not just at dances, Marjorie.
Francis, it's a hard time for all of us. This has been an incredible strain on the whole family. John dropped everything to track down that horrid George Griscom. We've all had to make sacrifices, Marjorie.
Well, at least John got to go abroad. I don't get to do anything. You keep me locked up in this house like a prisoner. It isn't fair.
Oh, I think we've learned our lesson from overindulging your sister. You will stay here, in what I will remind you is a very comfortable home with everything you need, until the police find Dorothy.
If you had given her that ratty apartment in Greenwich Village, none of this would have happened.
Marjorie, that's enough.
Do you want me to talk to Mr. Griscom? Maybe if you let me out of the house, I can help find Dorothy.
Oh, heavens, no.
No, no, there won't be any need for that. Your brother and Mr. Keith have that particular matter in hand.
Well, I suppose I'll just rot in my gilded cage for all eternity.
Mary, where did we go wrong?
Good afternoon, Mrs. Greer.
Very good, Daisy. Much less noise these past few days.
Yes, ma'am. Your tea, ma'am?
Thank you. You will read the newspaper again to me today.
Of course, ma'am.
Yes, Miss Greer?
Foster, where are my newspapers?
They're on the table in the corner, ma'am.
Good. Thank you, Foster. That will be all.
Very good, ma'am.
Daisy, I want to hear more about that missing girl, Dorothy Arnold.
Yes, Mrs. Greer. Do you think there will be more stories about her?
Stop dawdling and get the newspaper.
Yes, ma'am.
See? There. Under this headline. Read that.
Mr. Keith laid stress upon the point.
The date. What's the date?
Sorry, ma'am. January 30th, 1911. Shall I read on?
Yes, go on.
Mr. Keith laid stress upon the point that John Arnold, in leaving for Europe, did not have as his purpose the hunting down of George Griscom, Jr., the Pittsburgh man who had been courting Miss Dorothy Arnold. But he admitted that the family, previous to the departure of John Arnold, had looked up Griscom in Florence, Italy, and had asked him if he could throw any light upon the disappearance of the missing girl.
A scallywag, if there ever was one. The plot thickens indeed. Don't you think the girl ran off with her beau, Daisy?
I don't see how. As the man was in Europe, she went missing in New York. Isn't that what I read the other day?
You see, Daisy, I bet there was a secret plot afoot. I'm sure the Arnold family looked down upon this Griscom fellow. And why shouldn't they?
Why shouldn't they?
It's very obvious, Daisy. Now go on. What else is there?
There's mention of the police looking in Central Park for her, but that's it. I don't see anything else here on the subject. Will that be all, ma'am?
Daisy, what did you do before becoming my maid?
I worked in a shop.
Oh, did you? What kind of shop?
A flower shop?
Are you asking me or telling me?
I worked in a flower shop.
A florist?
Right, yes.
And do you have a fellow? Is anyone courting you?
I'd rather not discuss that, Mrs. Greer. With all due respect, I don't think it has any bearing on my duties as your maid.
Fine. You're an odd girl. And you should get your story straight, whatever it is. I don't like not knowing the sorts of people living under my roof.
I'm sorry, ma'am. It was a difficult time before I came here. I don't mean to be rude.
That will be all then, Daisy.
Yes, ma'am.
Who is it?
George Griscom? It's John Keith. Open up.
I already spoke with the Arnold boy. I have nothing left to say. I feel very badly about his sister Dorothy, but this harassment must stop.
It was reported in the evening news yesterday that you received a letter from her. Is that true?
You came all the way to Atlantic City to ask if I received a letter? A telephone call would have been a wiser use of your time, Mr. Keith. I spoke with the police already on the matter.
I'm here on behalf of the Arnold family. I've been working on this case since before the police got involved.
Are you now acting as a private detective?
No, I'm still the family's attorney, but very fond of Dorothy and want to ensure the matter is well tended to.
Since you're here, come in. I'm very fond of Dorothy, too, which I suspect you already know.
Do you know where she is?
I wish I did. We made plans.
Plans? What sort of plans? I found two transatlantic steamliner folders in a room at the Arnold House. Would your plans have something to do with that?
It doesn't matter anymore. She left me the same way she left everyone else, without a word.
So she didn't send you a letter?
I received a letter, but it wasn't from her. At least, it wouldn't be in her interest to send such a letter as the one I received. It was in reference to a certain liaison we had a few months ago in Boston.
You mustn't speak of it to anyone. Her reputation, the family's standing, you understand, of course?
I certainly won't speak of it, but someone knows and is planning to blackmail me if I'm not careful.
I wouldn't be too concerned about it. The family has received all sorts of correspondence, some threatening, some encouraging, none of it helpful.
So what's next?
Distance yourself from this case. I don't want you to breathe another word of it, another word of your relationship with Dorothy Arnold to anyone.
And if I hear from her?
Let me know, but I doubt you will. If the Pinkerton detectives can't find her, no one can. Thank you for your time, Mr. Griscom.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Greer. Are you feeling well today, ma'am?
Just give me my tea.
Yes, ma'am. Here you are.
Don't you think it's odd, Daisy?
I'm sorry, Mrs. Greer.
Didn't you think I would figure it out?
Mrs. Greer, I'm not sure what you're referring to.
Why don't we work this out together, shall we?
Yes, Miss Greer.
Foster, where are my newspapers?
They're on the table in the corner, ma'am.
Good. Thank you, Foster. That will be all.
Very good, ma'am.
Would you like me to read to you, ma'am?
Yes. Get the first newspaper off the stack over there.
Where would you like me to start, Mrs. Greer?
Let me see. Here would seem appropriate.
Her health undermined by grief. Miss Mary Martha Parks Arnold, mother of Dorothy Arnold, whose disappearance resulted in a worldwide search that failed to disclose any trace, died at her Park Avenue home today. On December 12th, 1910, Dorothy Arnold, daughter of Francis Rose Arnold, wealthy importer, vanished from her home. The parents believed almost from the first that their daughter had died. But still, the uncertainty remained, and the search extended far beyond the borders of this country. No clue was ever found as to what happened to the girl. Both father and mother suffered in health. The father was the first to die, and Miss Arnold's health today came after a long illness. Very sad.
Yes, it is. Very, very sad. So why aren't you there?
Mrs. Greer?
Oh, don't play dumb with me, child. I know it's you. You're Dorothy Arnold. Why aren't you in New York to grieve the death of your poor mother?
Ma'am, I'm sorry, but you've made a mistake.
Don't tell me what I can see plain with my own eyes. You're an imposter, an unfeeling harlot. You just read the obituary of your very own mother without a stitch of regret or remorse. You're a monster.
Miss Greer, is everything all right?
No! No! Foster, get this girl out of my house! She's a liar and a pretender!
Foster, you have to help me explain. She thinks I'm the girl from the articles I've been reading to her. Mrs. Greer, remember the date on the article I read to you yesterday? 1911. I forgot to read the date out loud on this one. It says here, the date's December 29th, 1928. Do you know what year it is now?
Daisy, I must ask you come with me immediately.
Her name's not Daisy, Foster. Don't let her fool you.
It'll be all right, Miss Greer. Daisy, if you will please come with me, I think Mrs. Greer would be more comfortable.
I don't know what I did wrong. I just read to her like she asked me to. Those stacks and stacks of newspapers in the corner, they're always there. Why does she ask you for them every day?
I said get out.
Daisy, please, follow me. Keep quiet about this, and I will be sure you'll get 2 months' severance and a good reference.
I don't understand what I did wrong.
It's not your fault. She does this. It's how she copes with what she did to her family all those years ago. She obsesses. She collected every single article over the years, and I'm afraid they've driven her mad.
You mean, is that her?
Do you accept the terms of your dismissal? 2 months' severance and a good reference. That's all I can offer.
Yes. I accept the terms.
Good luck to you, Daisy.
Ah, Hildy, there you are.
Yes, Mrs. Greer. Here's your tea. Will you need anything else, Mrs. Greer?
Can you read, dear?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, Mrs. Greer?
Foster, where are my newspapers?
They're on the table in the corner, ma'am.
Good. Thank you, Foster. That will be all.
Very good, ma'am.
Hildy, I would like for you to read the newspaper to me. Go get the one from the top of the stack. You can start there.
Oh, yes, ma'am. I'd be happy to.
The hacienda's dark, the town is sleeping. Oh, the time has come to part, the time for weeping. Vaya con Dios, my darling. Vaya con Dios, mi amor. Oh, the village mission bells or softly ringing. If you listen with your heart, you'll hear them ring. Vaya con Dios, my darling. Vaya con Dios, mi amor. Wherever you may be, I'll be beside you. Although you're many million dreams away, each night I'll say a prayer to guide you, to hasten every lonely moment of every lonesome day. Now the dawn is breaking through a great tomorrow, and the memories we share are there to borrow. Vaya con Dios, my darling. Vaya con Dios, mi amor. Vaya con Dios, my darling. Vaya con Dios, mi amor.
And that concludes this week's program. Daisy was played by Mary Murphy. Foster was played by Michael Pate. Francis Arnold was played by James Reeser. Mary Arnold was played by Casey LaForest. The parts of Marjorie Arnold and Hildy were played by Allison Gwynn. John Keith was played by Eric Davy Gislason. George Griscom was played by Bill Heidrich. And the part of Sylvia Greer was played by me, Ali Silva. Connect the Dots was written by Rebecca Graves and directed by Annabelle Rollison. The song Vaya con Dios was performed by Sylvan Sandoval. Our show is produced by Gustavo Rodriguez, Daniel and Rebecca Graves, and myself for Fireside Mystery Productions. Our theme music is by Jason Graves. Our musical score was improvised by Steve Blanco. Our sound designer and engineer is Greg Russ. Our technical director is Johnny Goddard. And our production coordinator is Dahlia Morali. If you like what we're doing, my dears, do please take a moment to give us a rating and review on iTunes. If you can invest a minute to do that, you'll be doing a lot to help us grow. Clue us into your favorite episodes or characters, or anything you'd like to hear more or less of in the future. Your feedback means the world to us. Just 2 live shows are left for the season, New York City fans. Our second to last, An Ear for Music, is going down this Sunday, April 30th at the Slipper Room. Get those tickets now at slipperroom.com. I must admit, my tea tastes even better when I drink it out of my new Fireside Mystery Theater mug. You can pick up one for yourself, too, along with all kinds of great FMT swag. Just go to firesidemysterytheater.com/merch. What's even more amazing? Starting today, the 26th, to Sunday, April 30th, everything is on sale up to 30% off. Check it out at firesidemysterytheater.com/merch. This is your own Ali Silva. Button up as those rain clouds start to gather. Stay dry and mind the shadows. Thank you.